The liberty of a democracy is not safe if the people tolerate the growth of private power to a point where it becomes stronger than the democratic state itself. That, in its essence, is fascism, ownership of government by an individual, by a group, or by any controlling private power. And that quote came from Franklin D. Roosevelt. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Well, folks, looking at the Earth of modern times, it really would appear as if the entire world has gone mad. It's very difficult to see any moment in history when humanity was in greater peril than what we find ourselves in today, and there also doesn't appear to be any other time in history when man had so many opportunities for wakefulness to choose from. And of course, what these opportunities are the very myriad of problems that have been created for us and for the planet by those people we have elected to act on our behalf, those people we've elected to government. And folks, why these problems are in fact opportunities is because each one of these problems reveals for us the very corruption of the system that enslaves us and gives us therefore the opportunity to address this corruption. Because every single problem that the world faces, folks, has been the result of the actions of government and what government has allowed to happen. Government will, of course, blame you. They will tell you that it is because of the people that the environment is being trashed, because of all of the wants of our society and all the throwaway culture that we lead and all of this sort of stuff. But really, when you look back at history, this is the culture that the government's promoted to the people and taught the people to immerse themselves in back in the 40s and 50s after World War II. We kind of created this throwaway society, which of course would inevitably lead to where we are now, and the horribly degraded state of our environment, which has been the result of it. And sure, this has happened because of our society, but our governments are always very quick to point the finger at the people and make the people pay for the problems that the government themselves have created. Because if industry was properly regulated and industry functioned in such a manner that it was going to be beneficial to the people and beneficial to society and beneficial to the world at large, then of course it wouldn't be functioning around an economic model. Because all this system does, folks, as I've often said, is work to support an economy. And the economy is completely fake. All it does is provide a system of eternal profit and eternal scarcity, and needs to function in a state of permanent growth. And of course, that can only be achieved by destroying the environment and making humanity expendable. So that is the economy that we are supporting. That's the economy that our governments are supporting. And that's what economies do, folks. Economies aren't real. I said to someone the other day that the economy wasn't real, and they said, oh, of course the economy is real. Money's real. All this stuff's real. And I said, well, if the economy is real, can you please bring it round to my house? I'd like to look at it. I'd like to see what shape it is, what color it is. I'd like to poke it with my finger and see what it feels like. He said, well, of course I can't do that. And I said, no, of course you can't do that, because it isn't real. We made it up. You know, that's all it is. That's all the economic system is, folks. It's a system of scarcity. That's what it's for. And it's resulting in the complete destruction of the planet and the complete depopulation of humanity in order to support the economic system. So that's a huge opportunity for us just to see how the world works. I mean, just look around you at the state of the world and look around you at the state of the people and the real state of our society, and there's every piece of evidence you've ever needed to demonstrate very clearly that our government and this entire system is utterly corrupt to its very core, and that this corruption needs to be addressed. And of course, when you look at this system and you look how all of society is locked within these legal parameters created by the system, then you begin to see that the only way this system can be addressed is through grassroots movement of the people. So, of course, we come back to connecting with our communities, getting information out to people, having town meetings, having discussions such as this, and just pointing out to people the way the world is run. asking them to simply just stop and look around them for a little bit. I mean, appealing to their logic. I mean, look at what's going on. Look how much harder you're working than what you were 10 or 15 years ago. Look how expensive the cost of living is. Have you ever asked yourself why? And turn away from what the television tells you the reasons are. Turn away from the television telling you it's because resources are getting scarce and so everything costs more. And think about why anything costs anything. Why should anything cost anything? You know, what's it all about? How come you can still buy the same now with an ounce of gold as what you could 100 years ago, and yet the paper money seems to be worth less and less and less, and so people have to run harder and harder and harder on the treadmill because they have to keep collecting paper because they have to pay to be alive? What is this? How can we even call this civilized? And that's the way we need to look at things, folks. Because it's only really when you see the system for what it is that you can see what the solutions to this system are. And of course, the solutions are to understand that the system is fiction. It's just something we made up. And it doesn't support the human race in any way, shape or form. And it's actually quite interesting when you really look at it. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are waiting for the world to turn into tyranny. Well, folks, you're already living in a state of tyranny. What you're living in is a state of economic tyranny, the function of which is to turn everything into a commodity. And it's done this by ensuring that every single person is required to pay to be alive. And this keeps people in a state of fear-based mind control, because people are always in fear of not having enough money to survive. But it's not real, folks. It's just something that we made up. It's just an idea. And in order to support it, we are required to destroy everything around us and treat our friends and associates basically as commodities. See, everything's become a commodity, folks, in this reality. Even the people have become a commodity. And very often you find that people turn their friends into commodities. And that might be a strange way of looking at things, but it actually does make sense when you start looking at things from the other side of the coin and begin to realize what the true nature of a commodity is, because a commodity works both ways. For example, if we look to something like Wikipedia and we look up the definition of a commodity, what we read is that in economics, a commodity is the generic term for a marketable item produced to satisfy wants or needs. Economic commodities comprise goods and services, and the more specific meaning of the term commodity is applied to goods only, as opposed to services. It's usually used to describe a class of goods for which there is a demand. Now just think about it for a minute. Because we live in a system that requires us to pay to be alive, we have to therefore spend most of our time collecting paper. Because there's a limit to how many things we can do this, we sometimes have to make stuff up. People open shops and sell pies to people. People grow vegetables and sell vegetables to people. And people will just invent some widget and open up a widget store and hopefully be able to convince other people that they need this thing and then be able to sell it to them so that they can collect money to pay to be alive. We find things such as multi-level marketing, selling Amway or stuff like that. And this is a great example of turning your friends into commodities, folks, because what you do is that you find that everybody you're associated with, you're trying to sell them something. So you're using them to extract cash because that's what you need. So they can supply that demand for you. So you turn your friends into the item that supplies you with the cash that you need in order to function, because you need to pay to be alive. And this has been very instrumental in completely removing empathy from people. And this is really how money works, folks, because money is a talisman for control. It's designed to put people in a state of shortage and a state of scarcity. And it also removes from people the power of giving, because you don't give to people anymore because you have to pay to be alive. So you need to collect paper from people to cover your cost of being in the world. And so everybody's running around trying to make money off everybody else. So nobody knows how to give anymore. So everyone's required to act sociopathically and remove empathy from their lives in order to survive within this system. That's the purpose of money, folks. Money is there to keep people in scarcity and to remove empathy from people's psyche. You know, people are worried about, you know, if there wasn't money, if I sweat and labor at my job, what do I have to show for it? Well, I say step back a little bit further from that, and my question is, if you didn't have to pay to be alive, why would you be sweating and laboring in the first place? Why wouldn't you be doing what you want to do? Why wouldn't you be helping to improve reality, make reality a better place to live in? Well, no, you can't do that because you are required to work in order to support an economic model that demands that you pay to be alive. And that ultimately is the purpose of money. Money is a talisman for control, and it keeps people in a state of fear-based mind control because money is purposely designed to place the people who use it into a state of permanent scarcity. I mean, if we didn't have money, folks, people would still do things. Things would still get invented. We could still have a system whereby people would do a certain amount of work just to maintain our infrastructure. I mean, if we're going to have infrastructure, somebody has to maintain it. Since the infrastructure is for all of us, then we should all maintain it. But with proper education, you know, we'd want to do this stuff. You know, a couple of generations of people being taught actually how reality is and how reality works and being encouraged to find that thing that they love to do and that thing that they are good at and do as much of it as possible, we'd find miraculous things happening to this world. We'd find miraculous changes in people's way of thinking. And people would want to help others because they would see the benefit of helping others. Because, of course, the way that you improve your own life is to improve the lives of the people around you. But we're not taught that. We're taught that the way to improve your own life is to use those around you as a source of income so that you can collect enough paper to be higher on the social ladder than they are. That's what we're taught it's all about. We're taught that it's all about acquisition. It's not about humanity. It's not about society. It's not about improving the plight of human consciousness. It's about economic growth. It's always about economic growth, and that the economy is the most important thing, even if some people are cast by the wayside. As long as the economy is in a state of permanent growth, everything will be okay. That's what we're taught to think, and it's complete and utter fiction because the economy is just numbers on pieces of paper, numbers on digital screens, and we made the whole thing up. It has no bearing on reality and no real meaning to anything at all except for itself and this destructive capitalistic program that the Earth seems to be currently running. And of course, folks, the program only runs because we the people provide the program with the energy it needs to run. Bit of a clue there, folks, and there's obviously a very simple way that we can halt the program. All we have to do is stop giving it our energy. And we do that by giving our energy to the people around us and building strong community. It always comes back to the same thing, folks. It always comes back to community. It's got to be grassroots. That's the only way we're going to change anything. And we have to break out of this fear-based mind control, stop profiting from each other, and see each other as valid in order to do it. I mean, that's absolutely the first step, folks, and we have to do that if we're going to achieve anything at all. Because if we're not prepared to do that, and we're not prepared to think outside of the box, and we're not prepared to see people as valid, and we're not prepared to put giving back into the equation, we're not prepared to stand in civil disobedience, if we're not prepared to see that the system is fiction, that we are allowing ourselves to be enslaved by lines on pieces of paper that have been put there by sociopaths in order to steal everything from us. Until we can see this, nothing is going to change. Mass non-compliance, folks. Mass non-compliance. And as I said on the show last week, real non-compliance is doing that which is lawful rather than that which is legal. Because that which is legal is not law, it's just rules written by politicians that has been superimposed over the top of law, and people have been taught to believe that it's valid. But it's not. It's just rules on pieces of paper that are designed to steal everything from you. And just what's happening in Australia, folks, is a perfect example of how this is going. Australia has one of the highest costs of living in the world, and yet it has one of the lowest populations and it has some of the most valuable resource deposits. And here we have the country being virtually strip mined from under the feet of the people, the water table being destroyed and everything just being moved offshore, and yet none of the profits, none of the wealth of the country is being passed down to the people of the country. And the country is being destroyed and it's being removed of its economic sovereignty and its self-sustainability. Look at all the industries that have been moved offshore in the last 20 years. And it's happened in America as well. It's happened in all countries. What they're doing is they're moving all the industries and all the food production around. This is what fracking's all about, folks. Well, at least in this country anyway, because fracking is destroying the water table and it's destroying the food bowl. So Australia will not even be able to grow its own food. We'll have to import food from overseas. So this gets Australia locked into the foreign economic model. It gets Australia interdependent with other countries. Because they want this interdependency. They don't want any countries to be self-sufficient. Because if a country is self-sufficient, it doesn't fit into the global economic model that they have. And it can't be controlled. That's the thing. If you're a self-sufficient country, you can't be controlled. That's why they don't want self-sufficiency on farms and self-sufficiency anywhere within our community. Because if you are self-sufficient, then you are not able to be controlled. If you haven't broken a law, then you're not able to be controlled. So they outlaw self-sufficiency, and then they make you a criminal for trying to be self-sufficient. So now they've got you both ways, and that's why they do it. But again, what they institute in these cases is not law, it's legislation. And in fact, in their actions of inflicting harm upon people who break their legislation, the government itself and the police force who support the government are the ones who are actually breaking the law. Because if a law has been broken, there's been an injured party, and the only people who are injured from the breach of a statute is the person who is prosecuted. Because from the breach of a statute, there is no injured party. So it's the government and the police that are breaking the law. And until the people wake up to the fact that they've been had, and the police wake up to the fact that all they are doing is supporting corporate corruption at the expense of actual law, then we're never really going to get anywhere. So you've got to try to even break down the barriers with your police folks. I mean, a lot of these cops are actually nice people. I mean, sure, there's a fair amount of sociopaths in the police force, but a lot of them are actually nice people who join the force because they want to help. So you've got to let them know what the law is and what legislation is. And don't think that they know what the law is, folks, because they don't. Because if they did, they wouldn't be out there every day breaking the law in order to enforce legislation, which is not law. So you've got to understand a lot of these cops are just brainwashed. They're taught to believe that which is legal is that which is lawful. But it's not. It's simply rules that were made up by politicians. And all these rules are done to divide society, to bring about total criminalization, to extract all the resources of the country, and to remove the sovereignty of the nation and create interdependency, global interdependency. That's what all of these laws and legislations are about, all the piracy acts, everything. It's all a complete scam, folks, and none of it is actual law. And we have an opportunity to change that. We have an opportunity to change it this year if we would simply wake up to the scam that this is. And the whole thing is really such a scam, folks. It is a system of economic tyranny that has been imposed upon the entire human race. And what we are seeing in the last year is the consolidation of that tyranny. And folks, a lot of what has been used to accomplish this is the dehumanization of humanity that's occurred in the last couple of generations. And by using the term generations, folks, I'm not saying that modern generations of kids are less human than their elders. I'm simply referring to that time frame. I'm thinking of about the last 30 or 40 years. We have seen that all of humanity has been greatly dehumanized. Humanity's been reduced to a state where people really don't notice what's going on around them. They don't really have that connection to the people around them, and so they don't really care. And they very much live more and more in a virtual world. We're seeing young kids becoming adults a lot earlier, or acting like adults a lot earlier. And what a lot of young kids perceive adulthood to be is a time when you put on fancy clothes and go out and shop and buy lots of stuff and become as superficial as you can. And of course, when you do grow up into adulthood, then you don't ever want to have children. Not too many modern couples want to have children because they're too busy with their careers. And a lot of other kids are far more happy in a virtual world than what they are in the real world. And something else that's happened in regards to the virtual world is the way we have basically taken the entire knowledge bank of humanity and placed it all into a virtual world. Not too many people have books these days. Most people have all of the information that they own, all the data that they own, all stored on hard disks or hard drives. So it all exists in virtual reality. We've even found libraries recently throwing out lots and lots of books and saying that they've replaced them with digital versions of them. So now all that knowledge is on hard drives as well. We've also seen children in schools using calculators and things like this. Not too many modern kids can add up or do maths very well because they always use calculators at school. When I was a kid at school, you weren't allowed to use a calculator. I mean, you couldn't even have a slide rule on your desk when you were doing an exam. You had to do it all in your head. Whereas now, kids can not only have slide rules, they don't even use slide rules anymore, they use calculators. And they use calculators for every single math problem that they've ever had. And so what we see here is a very, very sly, underhanded manipulation whereby all of our information about our past, about our history, about everything, all the knowledge that we have, the knowledge of how the system runs, everything that we've learnt and saved and a lot of the research that people have done, it's all kept in a virtual world. And we've seen a lot of people's calculations and thinking is also done by computer. And so this has now placed us in a very dangerous place because if the grid is shut down, then all of that knowledge is lost. Suddenly all of mankind's history goes out the window and then they can simply rewrite history from this point. We've seen this happen in the past in various civilizations. There was certain dynasties in China that burnt all the books and all the libraries of everybody that existed before them and decided history should start from that point. But what we're seeing with this whole New World Order system that's being put in place is we're seeing this being done globally. See, they've gone around in the last few hundred years, they've wiped out all the native cultures and they've westernized all the cultures that were left. And they've worked very hard to destroy this world history, folks. I mean, look at what happened in the invasion of Iraq. The first thing that happened was the utter destruction of the library and the museum and all of the vast amount of history that was held in the Iraqi museum. That was the first thing that was trashed. And folks, none of these things happened by mistake. Even the culture of Japan. Japan had a very, very ancient and very rich culture. And the West got in there about, what, 150 years ago or something. And suddenly we see Japan reduced to the state of the West on steroids. And we see things like Fukushima happening. So that entire cultural aspect of Japan's history has been virtually eliminated. And now we see what's happened with Fukushima, which will continue to affect Japan for a very, very long time. We see the loss of that entire culture, and that's what's occurring in Japan, and that's what's occurred over the last 150 years. But now they've gone and gathered up all the culture and all the history and a lot of the abilities of people as well, and they've put it all into a virtual world, which places all of this information in a very, very vulnerable position. I even know artists who were really, really good artists and started getting involved in digital art and doing things online, and now they simply don't draw as well as they used to because they do it all in a virtual world. So it's taking people's life skills away from them. People find they don't communicate as well with people in the real world. They communicate a lot easier to them online, chatting to them or in text or in voice chats or whatever. It's always a lot easier than what it is face to face. So they've taken that human contact away. So we're losing all of these life skills and we're losing all of our history and all of our information, all of our data, all of our books, all the stuff that we've had for years and years. It's all been placed into a virtual world. And I think that's something people really do need to think about. When we see some of the changes that are coming, is that if there are some aspects of this history or some aspects of your past or any stories or things that you particularly would like to preserve, that you should be ensuring that you have hard copies of these things and not just information that's stored on your computer. And I think it's very telling that the libraries of the world have actually been doing exactly the opposite of this. As I said, the libraries of the world have been digitizing many of the old books that they had and quite literally burning the original copies of many of these things because they've decided that they don't need them, and rather than securing voltage space for them or perhaps building rooms to keep them in and store them, they just digitize them and burn them. And the fact that this is being done all around the world, I think, really does spell an ominous sign, and it's a very telltale sign of what's being done to our history. And in fact, if you would care to delve into our history, while we still have some there, some available for you to delve into, what you'll see is that this is exactly what's being done all around the world. This is what was done to the Maya. This is what was done to a myriad of ancient cultures. An invading force would come in and they would eradicate the local history and replace it with what is basically the Roman system. Now they are in the process of removing the history from us as well. But they've got to do it very gradually and very carefully, because otherwise people will notice. And so, of course, the best method is to digitize the information, make it available to everybody, but only available in a virtual world, so that they don't notice you removing it from the real world, because they've still got access to it until you shut the grid down. You see, the powers that be just don't leave anything to chance, folks, and everything that is done for a reason. And when you find vast storehouses of knowledge being digitized and burnt, then I also believe this is being done for a reason. Because if it continues in this way, then eventually all it will take to remove all of humankind of the entirety of their knowledge, of their past, and all of their history, would be to turn off power. And I think we're at break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, folks. Now, as I was saying before the break, this entire system that we allow ourselves to be enslaved to is basically an economic system, and it's an economic system that always places itself and always places the economy above the needs of the people, above the environment, above anything, folks. It's always about the bottom line. It's always about the profit margin. It's always about permanent economic growth. That's the way our whole society is structured. And folks, I've even seen politicians sitting there shaking their heads in disbelief, completely unable to even fathom how someone could be against economic growth, because they see that as the be-all and end-all and the entire meaning of life. And that's the way they structure their political parties, and that's the way they structure the whole system. I mean, when you elect one of these people to a position of power, it's all about the economy for them. It's all about stimulating growth and stimulating the economy. That's the way they think, because it's the way they've been trained to think. They don't even let humanity come into the equation. And if some people are displaced in order to support the economy, they say, well, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And so we need to discard these people, because by doing so, we're going to provide a strong economy, which will be good for everyone. But then you don't see anybody within the society benefiting from their so-called strong economy. All you see benefiting from it is the politicians, the corporations, and the World Bank. It's never the people, folks. The people are always the most expendable thing within the parameters of this system, no matter what any politician does, and no matter what direction we go, no matter who we vote in, no matter where these people decide to take us, it's always about economic growth, and this economic growth is always carried out at the expense of the people. And the people know this, folks. The people within the system know that if they fall below a certain line, then they will be discarded. And this keeps people in a permanent state of fear-based mind control, and it also always forces them to be clawing their way to the top of the food chain, clawing their way over the heads of other people, and casting other people aside in order to ensure that they have their own security. So it creates a sociopathic society just by default, because people always have to put the bottom line as the most important thing in their lives. And of course, because most people have spent their lives clawing over others to get where they are, once they are discarded, then they very often have very few people that are willing to help them out, because they've spent their lives treating other people as expendable in order to get where they were. So when the rug's pulled out from underneath them, most of the other people kind of just laugh at them and say, oh, that's that guy who sold me that expensive car last year. Now he's getting his own, you know. So they see it as a kind of a personal revenge thing, and they have a little snicker to themselves. So they act sociopathically. They act in a way that's devoid of empathy. And it's just this vicious circle that goes on and keeps going round and round, folks. And this is the way virtually everybody in our society is trained to think and is trained to act. And folks, the way the economy is stealing the wealth of the people is something that is also incredibly obvious, because, as I said earlier, you find that Australia is an incredibly resource-rich country, and we have one of the lowest populations on earth. Therefore, the share of the commonwealth that actually belongs to each person in the country is very high. And yet we find within Australia one of the highest cost of livings in the world, which is a very good indication that none of the commonwealth of the nation is actually passed down to the people. There is no trickle-down effect from any of the mining, any of the industry, or anything that we see in this country. Our politicians just tell us that they're doing it for the good of the people, but really they're not. They're doing it for the good of the economy. And within this economic model, the most expendable thing is the people. So it's a complete lie, and everything they tell us really is complete fiction. And as I've said many, many times before, your number one rule in life should be that you should never, ever believe anything the government tells you, because these people are barefaced liars. I mean, you need to be a barefaced liar and a sociopath to even get to any position of political power. If you're not a barefaced liar and you're not able to look your electors in the eye and tell them complete and utter fallacies with absolutely no remorse for the damage that you're causing to them, then you will never make it as a successful politician. And that might be a very cold and cruel thing to say, but it's absolutely true. And I can prove that it's true simply by appraising the actions of the politicians, because their actions very clearly indicate such to be the case. I mean, it just gets to a stage where one and one equals two, folks, and there's very little debate that can be even carried out. And always placing an economic value, placing a dollar value on things, is one of the core issues that we're actually facing, because you can't put a dollar value on everything. I mean, allowing coal seam gas mining to be carried out in order to support your energy needs when it's destroying the water table is a complete no-brainer here, folks. I mean, look at this. They're destroying the most valuable resource on the planet in order to extract gas for energy when we really don't even need the gas for energy. There are a myriad of free energy devices that could be released, but the fact that they are conducting an activity which is resulting in the destruction of the water table shows how sociopathic, how left-brained, how irrational, and how unthinking and uncaring these people actually are. And the thing is, folks, that they're doing it deliberately. I mean, it's absolutely deliberate, because it's so obvious that this is what coal seam gas mining is doing. I mean, the one result, the one guaranteed result of coal seam gas mining is polluted groundwater. I mean, it's a complete no-brainer. I mean, water is the most valuable resource this planet has. Water is the source of life on this planet. So the fact that anyone would put the entire planetary water table in jeopardy in order to support an economic model just shows how disconnected from reality and how deranged these politicians actually are. I mean, in the case of our country, folks, in the case of Australia, I mean, it goes without saying, you've got Julia Gillard running the ship of state in this country, and here's a woman who's a habitual liar, whose actual political party was elected to office on a platform of barefaced lies, And now she is going about destroying every single resource this country has, sending it all off to overseas, imposing carbon taxes on the people in order to cover all the damage that her and her political party and the corporations they support are actually doing to the planet, and doing it all with a big smile on her face and telling the Australian people how much she cares about them at the same time as she is stealing every single thing of value from them. I mean, Julia Gillard is the textbook definition of a tyrant, folks. She is an utter tyrant, and her actions very clearly indicate that she has absolutely no regard for the well-being of not only the people of her nation, but even the nation itself. I mean, frankly, the woman should be charged with electoral fraud and removed from office simply because she was elected on a platform of barefaced lies. And the fact that this hasn't happened also is a very clear indication of how little regard our police service actually has for actual law in this country. Because there are most certainly injured parties from every single action that Julia Gillard has carried out since stealing office. And what choice do we have? Vote in the opposition? The opposition, of course, is run by Tony Abbott, who is a textbook sociopath, and the opposition will do exactly the same as what the current governing party will do anyway. I mean, all of these people are going to the same place, folks. They may have a different pathway that they take to get there, but ultimately they're all going to the same place. It's all about globalism. It's all about interdependence with other nations and a removal of national and economic sovereignty and the reintroduction of serfdom, folks, because that's what we're going to find. We're eventually going to find that we have a ruling class or a governing class, and below them will be a nation of serfs whose job is to run as fast as they can on the treadmill and support the system or to be discarded. That's exactly where our society is going, folks, and it's going to continue going that way until people wake up to the reality that they are being scammed, they are being lied to, they are being stolen from, and that they, the population, actually have the ability to reclaim the power that they have and thereby change the direction in which the ship of state is currently sailing. You see, this power, this ability is inherent within every person, folks, because that's what a human being is. Human beings are the ones who created this whole mess. And even those at the top, it doesn't matter that they happen to have more expensive suits and drive more expensive cars than you. Ultimately, they are no different than you. They are just people. That's it. And it is true, the power that people inherently hold within themselves and the practical application of this power, real positive change can be brought about. And looking around at the world, folks, there can be no denial that what the world needs is positive change. But it can only be done by the people, folks, and that's why people really do need to stand up and pay attention to what's happening in their lives. Take a day or two off the treadmill, folks. You don't have to run out and collect paper every day. Just try a National Day of Giving. Try giving to your neighbours and allow your neighbours to give to you. Try seeing the people around you as valid, and let's see what a difference it makes, because I'm sure it would make an enormous difference if we could just do that, folks. I've often said that one day of global non-compliance would change the world, and I still believe that it would, because it would send a shockwave around the planet. Not only would it shock the politicians and the ruling class, but it would also shock the people that we were able to unite and actually see each other as valid for one day. And I'm sure that once we've done it for one day, we would realize what a difference it could make to our world and realize what a difference it made just on that one day. And that would cause us to continue the process and continue the procedure and change our society so that we operate within the parameters of empathy rather than in the parameters of the psychopathic system and sociopathic system that is currently forced upon us by those people we elect to protect us and to manage our infrastructure for us, because these people obviously have been doing nothing of the sort, and all you have to do is look around you at the state of the world today to see how true that statement is. You know, one of the most important things that I see in 2012, folks, is the opportunities that this year is providing for us, because there hasn't ever been a time in history when the workings, the mechanism of the system of control has been so exposed and laid so bare for all to see. I mean, if people can tear themselves away from the television and the country club and whatever meaningless social activity they're participating in for just a moment and look around them at the state of the world and have a look around them at the ever-escalating amount of homeless people, the ever-climbing debt and the economic obstacles that are placed in front of people virtually on a daily basis. If people can simply just look around and see this stuff, folks, and just take it all in and take in the bigger picture, then it is true. It is absolutely true, folks. Never before have we seen the mechanism laid so bare. And the opportunity that this is providing for the human race is absolutely phenomenal. It's just up to the people whether they are going to seize the opportunity and actually do something about it. And I really believe that the way to do this is to change your perspective of reality. And you don't even have to start getting into quantum physics and energy and the nature of the energetic universe or anything like that. All you really have to do is to realize that all people were created equal. There is no one of any more or any less value than anybody else. And realize that all of the problems that we're facing have all been imposed upon us by people. And not only that, but they've been imposed upon us by the people that we've elected to care for us and manage our infrastructure. And they've done exactly the opposite, folks. And they've gotten away with it, and they continue to get away with it because we just think that we're little people, and little people can't achieve anything. We all have to be subservient to this system, which itself is simply fiction. And we all just bumble about our business, and we don't want to rock the boat, and we don't want to disturb anything, and we don't want to appear like we're radical to our neighbours, and so we police ourselves, we allow our neighbours to police us, and we all make sure that we never think outside of the box in case anybody construes us to be an agitator or a troublemaker or someone who's different to everybody else or someone who talks about uncomfortable things, you know? And of course, now we have the rampant fear of terrorism. Oh my God, my neighbor is thinking outside of the box. He may be a terrorist. We have all that to concern ourselves with as well, which is complete and utter media brainwashing. And so we have a lot of stuff that prevents us from ever standing in our power and being who and what we are capable of being, who and what we actually are. But folks, we're going to have to put all this stuff away and pay attention to what's going on in the world, or we're simply not going to have a world. And there are so many forces at work at the moment to lock us down, to lock the human spirit down, and to depopulate this planet and impose their will upon everybody, that if we don't pay attention, folks, then our grandkids are just not going to have a future. And that's what we're doing, folks. We're freeloading on our grandkids if we don't deal with this. And history will look back at this generation and say, well, that was the turning point. They were the ones who had the opportunity to fix the problem, but they didn't do it because they were too controlled by their televisions and they were too worried about peer group pressure. They were too concerned about their social status and what others might think about them if they began to think outside of the box. We have to break out of this mindset, folks. We really do. We've got to expand our minds to take in consciousness and to see the validity of those around us and to see what's going on in the world. And people need to ask themselves why they are required to pay to be alive, why everything is so difficult. They really do need to look at it and ask themselves these questions, and they need to work to implement positive change within their own neighborhood and within their own street. Start just doing things. If you see something that works and makes a difference, if you see a free energy device that you can implement, just do it. If you have some land and you have the opportunity to build a cob house or an adobe home or an earth ship or something like that, just do it. It doesn't matter what the council says. It doesn't matter what the government says. It only matters what your community says. So you can talk to your community and you can get them to participate, and you can go and do these on everybody's property. And if the council doesn't like it, fine, sack the council. tell them to go away. We'll employ some honest people to put in their place. It doesn't matter what legislation they've written down on any piece of paper somewhere, because it's not real. It's just a rule that somebody wrote down, and its purpose is to superimpose itself over the top of actual law and prevent humanity from being all that they can be. That's all most of this legislation is for, folks. It's simply a control grid that is being ever more tightened. It's a very, very gradual process, but that's what they're doing. And it's going to continue until people notice it's there and start consciously acting against this control grid, folks. And remember, all you have to really do is what is lawful. You don't have to do that which is legal. You only have to do that which is lawful and ensure that there are no damaged parties, no harm from your actions. But as I've so often said, of course, you're not going to get away with it unless you have that strong communal spirit around you, those strong communal ties within your community. You have to have the people standing with you, folks. And to do that, you've got to be prepared to stand with them. And we've all got to realize that we're all in this together, and what we're facing is a completely corrupt system which is making us expendable, and it's just fiction. It only exists on paper, so we don't have to actually do any of it, folks. I mean, I don't know what it'll take to wake people up, but I really do wish people would snap out of their slumber and stand up and be who they are, be what they are, be proud to be a human being, and stand in the power that you inherently have. And realize that nobody can tell you what to do. No one can place any restraints on you for what you do. As long as you are not harming anybody or anything else, then you're not doing anything wrong, regardless of what politicians or corrupt police officers who support corporate corruption and criminal politicians say. It doesn't matter what these people say, folks. The only thing that matters is what is right. What is the right thing to do? What is morally right? What is beneficial to humanity? What is beneficial to our society? That's what matters. And you'll find that most of the legislation that's enacted by our public servants simply does not benefit humanity or society in any way. It only benefits them, and it only benefits the corrupt corporations which they serve. And the world has to be viewed this way, folks. It really has to be viewed this way. Don't worry about supporting the economy. Don't worry about sustaining the economic model, because the economic model is simply a system of economic tyranny which has been imposed upon the people and is being used to milk every single piece of wealth and every single resource out of this planet, steal everything that can be stolen away from the people, and to place the people in a state of serfdom whereby they are enslaved by their employees. That is what this system is doing. And really, folks, when you look at it from a logical and objective perspective, you see that the way the system is able to do this is by its continual unlawful actions. You see, everything the system does and everything the government does is unlawful, because from all the actions of these governments and from all the actions of the system, we always find that there are injured parties. The amount of people that are incarcerated in the American prison system for victimless crimes, people who are in there for smoking pot, which is a complete victimless crime. Pot's actually a plant that would save the world if it was legal. The only reason it isn't legal is because many of the most corrupt industries on earth would be put out of business if it was. So everything our governments do is unlawful, folks, because there is an injured party from all of the actions of the government. Even the fact that you have to pay to be alive and are forced to live within a society which places you in a state of perpetual self-generating debt shows that there is an injured party from the actions of this government. There are injured parties from the actions of all governments, folks. This entire government system is corrupt, and I'm quite happy to debate any politician on these issues anytime any of them has enough fortitude to face me in a public arena. And you see, that's where our remedy lies, folks. Our remedy is in realizing the difference between that which is lawful and that which is legal. Our governments have worked very, very hard to blur this line, and people honestly don't really have time to look. They never really have time to think about it, because most people are so exhausted because they have to spend their days running ever more faster on the treadmill in order to keep their head above the encroaching waters of self-generating debt they are forced to live in. And when they do get home and they have a few moments off, they just plonk themselves down in front of the television and get programmed for the next day. Television really does numb people's brains, folks. It's a very, very effective brainwashing tool, and that is its entire purpose, to brainwash people into believing a completely false reality and ensure that they remain subservient to a completely false paradigm which does not serve them in any way, shape, or form. And they're trained to be this way right from birth, folks, right through the education system. The education system is not an education system. It is an indoctrination system, because the government doesn't want educated people. The government doesn't want smart people. That is really the one thing they don't want, folks. They do not want people that are capable of critical thinking or that think outside of the box, because that does not serve the interests of the government. They want good little drones who are able to function to the capacity that they are needed to function within the parameters of the machine. And that is the way our governments and the way this system views every single person within the system. All are commodities, all are resources, and all are expendable if it serves the system for them to be discarded. It's a system that's been in place for a very long time, and it's a system that continues to function solely due to the energy it receives from the people within it. Well, we are a couple of minutes away from the end of the show here, folks. Thank you again to all the people who continue to visit thecrowhouse.com. And if you're a person out there who has shown support for the website, then thank you very much for your support. The film that I've been working on, Transformation, will be released this Sunday. It's actually going to come out in two parts, folks. The first part is the 90-minute or 97-minute film that I've done now. This will be part one, the arty version. And hopefully by the end of the year, we'll see the release of part two, the scientific version. I did have a lot of extra stuff I was going to include in the first release of the film, but it ended up being 2.5 to 3 hours long, and I just thought that this was way too much, especially since I'm only able to upload things to YouTube in 15-minute sections. They did give me the ability to upload full-length films at one stage, but it only lasted a week, and then they rescinded the privilege. I guess they just don't like what I have to say, folks, but somehow that doesn't surprise me very much at all. So the film will be released Sunday this week. It will be posted on YouTube and also available to stream from thecrowhouse.com. However, the high-res version of the film will not be available to download from the website until somewhere around mid-May. And I'm doing this simply because I don't want someone to upload the full-length version of the film immediately, because I would like to monitor the views and monitor how the film is received. I found other full-length versions of most of my films uploaded on YouTube, often that I didn't even know was there. My film The Awakening was actually uploaded to someone else's channel, and it had over 250,000 views, and I didn't even know that it had been uploaded, and I was wondering why the views had suddenly stopped climbing on my upload of the film. But of course, my upload was in 15-minute sections, and so if you are searching through YouTube to watch a film, naturally you're going to go for the full-length version. And that's what had happened, folks. So that's the reason I'm not making Transformation available as a full-length download from the website for at least the next month, just so I can monitor the reception of the film. But that is it for me, folks. We are now completely out of time. It has been a pleasure speaking to you again today, and I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then, and never ever doubt yourself, and never doubt the power that you inherently hold within yourself and your ability to bring about positive change in the world. In La Keshe.